Now, I don't want to speak to you on what Jesus has given me. And I tell you what, I told him that if I could bring it out like the Lord gives it to me laying in bed at night or any time my mind gets idle and I get to thinking about it, if I could bring it out to you like that, it would be amazing. Because in my mind, laying there, it's really good. But when you stand up here, it's totally different. John chapter 14, if you'll stand with me. I told him at first, God had not gave me a scripture to go with this. He'd gave me everything else, but he had not given me a scripture. But this week he has. He gave me this. And you know me, I'm not a real big reader, so I'm going to read one verse. But verse 6, chapter 14. It says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Amen.
We need to let that sink in tonight.
Come on.
We need that more than ever.
Amen.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day, God. We thank you. Tonight, as I thought about Jesus, the sweetest name that I know, I thought about the many names. And I went back in our Sunday school class a couple weeks back and took a picture of all the names on the wall that we had painted on there back when we were teaching the youth. And some of them was Savior, King of Kings, the Rock, the Redeemer, Daystar, Jehovah, Everlasting God, Emmanuel, Bread of Life, Messiah, the Lamb of God, the Creator, the Cornerstone, the Living Water, and the Son of God.
Amen.
All of those are great. And I love each and every one of those. But whenever I'm going through trouble and when I'm going through a trial, I don't say, Lord, help me, Cornerstone. Lord, help me, Creator. I say, Jesus, help me. Yeah. I remember one incident when I worked at the Bleachery that really stands out in my mind that I was going through a rough time that night. I worked third shift. And it just seemed like everything that was going on wasn't going right. And I stood back at the back of one of those machines, and I just looked up, and I said, Jesus. And it was amazing because the thing turned around at that time. Me and Nancy was decorating our Sunday school class, I mean, our vacation Bible school class one night. And I'm telling you, we about separated between decorating for vacation Bible school. And then Dallas walks in. I said, look here, Jesus has showed up. And I knew that everything was going to be worked out at that time. But Jesus, the name of Jesus. You know, we're going through a hard time in a lot. The song talks about that we sing a lot. I don't know the name of it because, you know, I don't know the name of it. Robert might tell you of it. But it talks about you're in the palm of his hand, in the hollow of his hand is what it says.
Yeah.
And somebody told me one time, says, yeah, he has you in the hollow of his hand. And we are going through dark times sometimes. And whenever we are going through dark times sometimes and we're looking for his leadership in our life and his guidance in our life, it gets kind of dark sometimes. They said, don't worry because that's just him taking his other hand and covering you up and protecting you for what you're going through.
Praise the Lord.
So he's got you in the hollow of his hand there. So Jesus is very important. They asked me to pray at work. And that's the biggest compliment that I could ever have for them to have enough of confidence in me to ask me to pray. The reason it is because it shows me that I'm not only showing you guys that I'm a Christian when I come to church on Sunday, but Monday through Friday when I'm at work, they see a difference in me also.
Amen.
They know today I don't have a problem to pray. They said, they asked me one time at the last minute to pray. And I said, yeah, I'd pray. They said, you're not going to, you know, write it down or anything? I said, you don't go to our church. Because they'll call on you to pray in a heartbeat. You don't write it down, you know. But if they ever ask me to pray and not say in Jesus' name, then you know what? I probably wouldn't pray for them. Because it's Jesus that what gets us through those hard times. It's Jesus. I'll tell you how important that the name of Jesus is. The words that are said by Jesus in the New Testament are in red. Yeah. Somebody down the line seen that it was fit for them to put it. I'm sure that went back when they was writing this, it wasn't in red. But somebody seen that it was important for them to write it in red. That's how. Used to years ago, and some of you younger people won't understand, but there used to be a commercial out, E.F. Hutton. When E.F. Hutton talks, everybody listens. Yeah. Yeah. When Jesus talks, it needs to be noticed.
Amen.
It needs to be recognized.
Amen.
So they wrote it in red there. It's very important that we do that. The first thing I want us to look at as far as Jesus, and whenever I get done at the end, I hope that it all comes together like God gave it to me. But I want to talk to you about Zacchaeus. And Sunday morning, preacher, you know, mentioned, and I thought, hey, you got to go on, because I can't change. I'm not like that. I got my message. We might have to repeat each other, but you can't say nothing about Zacchaeus, because Wednesday night I'm going to be talking about that. But Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. It starts out, and everybody knows the story. Jack and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was a little statue. Now listen. I looked it up, how a sycamore tree looked. And it was a pretty, it looked sort of similar from the pictures that they showed. Looked similar like an oak tree. So I can imagine that Zacchaeus probably climbed this tree. And it goes on, it says here in the verse 4, it says, and he ran before them and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass this way. I can imagine. Zacchaeus probably went over there and he climbed up in that tree and he probably looked out. Where's Jesus? He's in that tree and he's looking out. He felt like, even though he was a little statue, he felt like he needed to get up to be able to see Jesus. Have you ever been behind one of those trucks that says, a sign on the back of it says, if you can't see me, I can't see you? But that don't apply in Jesus. That don't apply in the Word of God.
Amen.
Because it don't matter that if you can see him or not. He sees you.
Amen.
Sometimes when you're going through trouble, you don't feel like he's there, but he's there. So Zacchaeus was up in the tree, and he's looking out through there, and he says, I can't see him. Where's he at? I don't know. The preacher did the revival. He says, this is my story. This is the way I'm going to say it. But anyhow, Zacchaeus may have went on up and got up in the top of the tree and shimmied on up and got a little higher and said, I'm looking for Jesus. Yeah, I see him right there. He probably got on up higher, and then Jesus came by, the Bible says. I got news for Zacchaeus, though. Even though he was a little statue, even though he didn't feel like that Jesus would have seen him when he came by, he could have been hiding under a rock, and I think Jesus would have saw him.
Amen.
Because it was meant for him to see him at that time. He was up in a tree. I'm telling you, if you deer hunt or go hunting, you get up in a tree so that person won't see you or that deer won't see you. He got up in a tree so he could see Jesus. But it was already meant to be. Jesus was going to see him, and he was going to go to his house, and he was going to be changed. It goes on here and it says, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide in thy house. You know, I thought about, as I was studying on this, it's like us sometimes. You know, Zacchaeus got up in that tree. He got further away from Jesus to see Jesus. Sometimes that's the way we are. The further away from we get, we realize that when we get down in the hog pens and we get down in the muck of life, then we see Jesus. Amen. When it shouldn't be that way. I thought about that. I thought, you know what? Wonder if they put that in there. Wonder if that was the example that they was wanting us to see there, that he got up in that tree. He got further away from Jesus instead of being over there on the side, because the next door that I'm going to will tell you that, hey, it doesn't matter. If it were meant for Jesus to see him, Jesus would have saw him.
Amen.
It goes on, and it says here, it says, he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And we know that he was a sinner. Maybe that was a train of thought that he was going through. Maybe he thought he had to get up in that tree, even though he was little in stature. It don't matter how little, how big you are. If it's meant for Jesus to come by your way, he's going to come by your way.
Amen.
The preacher talks about all the time, he just went to church to be able to see Miss Joe. I'll be honest with you, when I came to church out here, I just came so Megan and everybody would hush and leave me alone. I was ready to join another church that didn't have conviction. I'm serious. But I came in and I sat back there where Mr. John and Miss Diane sits. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm here. I'm just going to sit here today. But that's not what Jesus had in plan. I guarantee you that you did not come to this church when you came here to get saved.
Boy.
You came because somebody invited you. But Zacchaeus was up in a tree and Jesus saw him, called him down, and his life was changed. And we know what goes on. It says here, and in the next verse, it says, in verse 7, it says, and when they saw it, they all murmured and said that he was going to be guest with a man that is a sinner. You know, that's the way it is. That's the way life is. That's the way people think. That's the way we think. That's the way the crowd thinks. It goes on and it says here, and it says in verse 8, it says, and Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I gave to the poor. I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. That's the way it should be when Jesus comes into our life. There's something about that name that should be different to us.
Amen.
Yeah, I should take it serious when the preacher asks me to stand up here. But not only for people that's standing up here, it should be serious as the people that's out there in the congregation, the choir members, the ushers, whoever, whatever job you're doing, you should take it serious.
Amen.
Zacchaeus. Wow. If we could all, he just went to see him. He just wanted to see him and change his life.
Amen.
The next one I want to talk about is the woman with the issue of blood. In Luke chapter 8, verse 43 through 48, it says, a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. It goes on, it says, in verse 44, it says, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately the blood stanched. And I looked up that word. I was like, okay, what's that word mean? That word stanched means, it means to stop the flow of a liquid, especially blood. 45 says, and Jesus said, who touched me when all denied Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee and saith thee, who touched me? I can see that woman had done been 12 years, Brother Robert. I can see her been, went through everything, went through all the physicians that she could think of to try to get healed. But she knew that if she could get to Jesus, it would make a difference in her life.
Amen.
She knew that she had heard of other stories that had come. So I'm telling you, I think about her, and I think about her being probably at the bottom of the barrel, probably being at the bottom. I can't imagine. I remember when my mama was going through cancer. And she had come home from the doctor. Thank God we had people go back and forth with her during the week, and we didn't have to go with her every time. But she come back from the doctor, and she'd say, son, she said, well, they trying me on this chemo today, or are they going to change my chemo and try this kind? I'd say, well, mama, at least they hadn't said there's nothing else they could do. And I was trying to encourage her. I imagine this woman had got to the point to where they said, there's nothing else we can do. And then she gets down, and she just touches the hem of his garment. Mm-hmm. I mean, just the bottom.
Yeah.
I imagine that if she was in a valley, we talk about being on the mountaintop and in the valley. I imagine that she was at the point to where if she was in the valley, she'd probably done fell over in the creek. She was so low. She done fell over in the ditch. I know I would. I mean, if I'd done been 12 years going through something, and they said, nobody has healed me. Nobody has done anything. I'm telling you, I'd be devastated. But she would just touch the hem of his garment and was changed. It goes on and it says here in verse 46, it says, and Jesus said, somebody have touched me, for I perceive the virtue is gone out of me. He knew somebody had touched it. That right there is a prime example that Zacchaeus didn't have to climb that tree.
Come on.
That crowd was so much, so many people there that he knew that she had touched the hem of his garment. If Zacchaeus would have been over there, he would have seen him.
Yeah.
I can see right now, me and Nancy was somewhere. I'll tell you what, I'll give you a good example. We'll go to Wagon Wheel on Sunday morning or Sunday afternoon. And man, if that line's out the door, I'm saying, I'm going. I'm not going in there to eat. You know? What if she would have got to the point to where, oh, that crowd's too much. I'm not going. Nobody else can help me. There's no sense of me even going over here. And then when she got there, she couldn't even get close enough to talk to him or grab his hand. She just touched the hem of his garment. And she was changed. It goes on here, and it says in verse 47, it says, and when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what caused she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. You come down to this altar, I'm telling you, and every time that I pray, whenever I anoint people or we anoint people, it's not me.
Amen.
It's not these hands. It's not that oil. It's not none of these other guys' hands. It's not none of these other guys not good enough to be able to do that. I can promise you that it's all about him.
Amen.
And I think that's the reason so many people have been touched here. Because they come up here. See, she could have stayed at home. You can sit in your seat and probably not get touched. But if you come up here, it's like you touching the hem of his garment sometimes.
Amen.
It's like you climbed that tree. You made the effort to be able to see him.
Amen.
It's like you want to know. You want to have faith in him. You can sit back there, just like they say. You can sit back there, but I'm telling you, when you come up here, there's a difference.
Amen.
And it makes a big difference because of Jesus.
Amen.
It goes on in verse 48, it says, "And he said unto her, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith had made thy whole.
Amen.
Go in peace." We've seen where people got up high. We've seen where people got low. And I'm telling you, I want to ask you something tonight. I believe in the whole Trinity of God,
Amen.
The Godhead,
Amen.
The Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And I believe that Jesus is the Son of God.
Amen.
Don't everybody?
This
really blew my mind. Not right now, but in a few minutes, whenever I get to it, I'm gonna break it out. I want you to understand something that I never saw in my life. But I thought about David fighting the giant Goliath. It wasn't the slingshot. It wasn't that David had conquered the lion and the bear. It wasn't that gave David the confidence and the faith to be able to stand there and go against that giant. What it was David knew that he was standing on one side and Goliath, an uncircumcised Philistine, was sitting on the other side that did not have Jesus, didn't have God on his side. David knew he had God on his side.
Amen.
That's what it was. Yeah, he had confidence in that slingshot because he had used it before, but he had faith in Jesus. He had faith
Amen.
In God to be able to get him through that fight. Said the Trinity of God, we all believe that that's the Son of God, that Jesus is the Son of God. I never seen this and never thought about this until I read this. Now, I'm not smart enough to go in here and try to dissect this and see if that's, what it means. I just read what I read and believe what I believe.
Come on.
And God's word is what I believe.
Amen.
We've told you two stories of people in the New Testament that's been touched by Jesus. One of them was high, one of them was low. In Daniel chapter 3, verse 23 through 25, it said, and these three men, Shadrach, and Abednego, fell down, bound to the midst of the firing furnace. And Nebuchadnezzar was astonished and rose up in haste and spoke and said unto the counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the fire, the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. And listen to what 25 says. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is the Son of God. I'm not smart enough to try to say that wasn't Jesus. I'm just reading what it says. And we all agreed that Jesus was the Son of God.
Amen.
It may have been an angel that looked like him. I don't know. But I'm just saying what the Bible says.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not a big Bible scholar or anything like that. But it says the fourth was the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. I'm telling you, I don't know that that's where it was, who it was, but I just know what the Bible says. And tonight we've talked about three different situations. We've talked about being on the mountaintop. We've talked about being in the valley. And we've talked about being in the fire. And Jesus was there all three times. I don't care what we go through. I don't care where you're at. I don't care the situation that you're in. And I'm telling you, I've been in some bad situations. Going through cancer with my mom was probably one of the hardest things that I'd ever been through, those 6 years, seeing her doing that. Then losing my dad suddenly was just as bad, if not worse. Somebody told me one time that if your family member goes through a long, stretched out cancer or sickness of any kind, they suffer. But if you lose them suddenly like that, then you suffer. And there's so much truth to that. But I'm telling you what, I stand up here, I come in here on Sunday morning, I sit here and I don't say too much. But I'm telling you right now, there's no way that I'd have ever made it through any of those times without Jesus.
Amen.
I won't never forget, nobody was at home that day. I found my dad. I'm thinking, what in the world? Megan Nancy was gone. Devastated. Jesus was there. I've been on the mountaintop to where when Jesus was there. I've been in the valley where Jesus was there.
Amen.
And there's been times when I've been under fire that Jesus was there.
Amen.
He'll be there no matter where we go. There've been times to where the man that plays Jesus in our play has texted me in times whenever I was under fire or in the valley and made a big difference in my life. There have been times when other people's texted me and made a difference in my life. But I don't know what you're going through tonight. But I do know that if you're on the mountaintop, you in the valley, or you in the fire, Jesus is there for you.
Amen.
Somebody come get us a song tonight. That's what